How you doing?
Amen.
Hey, I got a good friend of mine here. He might not admit that, but I went to Russia with this guy a couple times. How many people have connections to Russia or the Ukraine? Would you stand up? Stand up. I want you to stand up. Okay.
Good.
More. Don, you got to stand up. All right. All right.
A few.
Well, that's awesome. Things, you may be seated. The things are changing in Russia and the Ukraine. They're changing seriously. And I went with Fred Ilyin twice to Russia now. And what a man of God, I'll tell you. It's an adventure to go to Russia with this guy. But you just connect in with the Holy Spirit. And I learned so much about the power of God and what he does in our lives on those trips that I've grown tremendously just knowing how to hear what God says. And so this guy has a heart. He's going to tell us. He just came back from Russia here on Monday. He's going to tell us about what's happening in Russia, how the door's starting to close. He's going to also tell us about the work that's working there. And some of the serious problems, but he's also going to preach the Word of God because we need to hear the Word of God. And so,
amen.
Would you welcome Fred Ilyin? All right? And
I love him, man.
He kisses me all the time, that guy. He kisses me. He's like family.
It's a Russian
like
thing,
family.
You know? It's a Russian and thing, you know?
And you brought somebody along with you, Greg? And it's Bitgood.
Greg Bitgood.
Yeah, Greg Bitgood.
Amen.
And so
close
we're traveling
of mine.
Together, and you can just let me know what you want to say now, and I'll show you.
Oh, good. Amen. Hallelujah. Here, take your sword, man.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to follow the Bible today?
I think so. I got mine. Amen. So nice to be here. The Russian Bible actually says, greet one another with a holy kiss, right? So the Russians actually do it literally in the Russian churches. Many of them do, anyway. Let me just say just a little thing. You probably need to know who I am. My name is Fred Ilyin. You know, in 1925, God actually began speaking to different groups across Russia, Ukraine, and telling them about that difficult times are going to come and that they need to leave. And so that just happened after the Azusa Street Revival. It kind of filtered in from California, Chicago, and one of the guys went to Russia and stayed there. In 25, my grandfather became a Christian, and the Holy Spirit told them you need to leave. Many, many people in Ukraine, Russia left from all around, and they made their way. My grandfather left Ukraine in 1927, went from Ukraine across the Caspian Sea, went to through Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and into China. And my parents met in China. My father and mother lived there for 20 years, 23 years. I was born in China, and from there, our family immigrated to Australia, from Australia to California, San Francisco. I went to finish university in Washington, and in 81 I moved up to Canada. So I'm actually a Russian Jew, born in China, lived in Australia, raised in San Francisco, and now I'm an immigrant to Canada and a missionary to Russia, Ukraine, and Africa. It's a kind of a odd mixture. Hallelujah. So this morning we have 28 more minutes, and I'm going to do just a couple things, a little bit of history, a little bit of what happened to my life, to our family, and then I'm going to just share a little bit about the ministry, and then I'm going to preach the word, because I think God has a message for each one of us this morning, and it's important. You know, I remember 1964. I was 9 years of age, and my uncle My uncle came over our house, and we had a prayer meeting at my house. My mother's very prophet motivated, and there was—I remember the prayer meeting was going by our stove there in San Francisco, and there was the word from the Holy Spirit was, "Thus says Holy Spirit, the iron curtain is going to come down, and the doors are going to be open just for a season, and so therefore, train your children in the Word of God, and train them in the Russian language." Because I want you to send your kids to Russia to reach my people. Now, I was 9 years of age. I heard this. And I said, there's no way. You know, there's no way I'm going to go to Russia. There are communists there. There are Russians. They're red. No way. And the prophecy was, you know, teach them the Word of God and the Russian language. And so after they got up from prayer, my uncle said, that's it. We're going to start a Russian school right here in this church. We're going to do a Bible study and a Russian school. And I said in my mind, there's no way I'm going to any Russian school. Well, my father and my mother did not listen to me. My dad took off his belt and gave me a choice, you know, either the rod or Russian school. I chose Russian school. And so, you know, I picked up the Russian language. I went to a couple of Bible schools and got a degree, and I thought, I'll do it just because mom, you know. And then in 1978, there was a ministry that was going to Russia, and they said to me, Fred, listen, you speak the Russian language. Why don't you come with us to Russia? Be our translator. And I said, no way, I don't need that. I took Russian in university because it was a free credit, you know. And I figured, you know, I'll do the Russian language, easy credits, easy A's, no problem. So I did really well in Russian, and so I knew the Russian language very well. And so they said, come and be our translator. I said, no way, I don't need to do Russian. You know, they're communists. I don't like them, you know. And whenever people would ask me, Fred, you've got a kind of a weird accent. What is it? And I knew it was part Russian, part Australian. And I would say, I just made it up. I didn't want to tell them I was Russian, you know, or Jewish, you know. That was it, you know. And so when this organization said, come with us, I said, no, thank you. And they said, Fred, you got to come, you know, ministry opportunities. I said, God bless you. I'll pray for you. And they said, listen, we'll pay your way. Well, I'm a Russian Jew. I said, sure, I'll go. Free trip, you know. And so that's what happened. And so that's how God got me to Russia in 1978. I was 23 years of age. And what happened was something interesting because back then, it was a really difficult times, and we had the underground church, as it is right now in China, and we would go, and I'd have to go set up different churches, and the communists there, the tourist guides, they would take us to all these different places, you know, where the kids would come and do these presentations. We would go to all the ballets, you know, that's where I'd fall asleep, and they'll take us to all these, you know, magnifying Stalin Lenin and Karl Marx. And then they took us to these orphanages. And these orphanages, these kids had these little red flags. And they would sing songs like we sing in Sunday school today. You know, Father Abraham. You know, if you're saved and you know it, clap your hands. But all their songs would be, you know, if you love Lenin, stand up and shout. You know, if you like Karl Marx, you know, say glory. And I saw this, and I said, God, this is horrible. They're teaching these kids. They're brainwashing them. And I remember a 23-year-old guy, and I said, I'm saying, God, I pray that you send someone to touch these kids. Just send them people that tell them about the love of God. And I'm praying this, and then never pray that because God answered my prayer and He sent me, you know. And it's interesting. They took my heart, they grabbed my heart, and anyway, back in 1981 we began a ministry. Good, why don't you play the first one? The first clip is about 30 seconds, 60 seconds if you could get it on, just about the ministry. We started that in 1981. Go ahead. And we just thought, well, let's touch some lives in the orphan kids. This is our camp in the Ukraine. We work with orphan kids. These are released orphan kids. These kids were all raised in orphanages from about 2 to 3 weeks to about 18 or 19. That's when they're released. And these are my little black children that I just adore. And I put this eraser against time because in Tanzania, it's between the Muslims and the Christians who gets them first. And so we're taking a lot of our Russian and Ukrainian young men to Africa to win these kids for the Lord. I'm going to do the PowerPoint. I'm going to just give you just a couple pictures so that you could see some of these kids' lives. And you know what? I never wanted to be a missionary. I never wanted to be a pastor. It's just kind of, I became a high school teacher in math and music. And I thought, I'll just be a high school teacher. I'll support this. And I gave that up in about 25 years ago. As I began, we began doing working with kids, you know, and these orphan kids that you'll see, they in Russia, there's all these orphans all the way around, about 3 seconds each, and I'll stop when I need to. And so these kids are given to orphanages from age, you know, from three weeks and on. And then after they spend their time in the orphanages, they are given away to, they're released. They're called released orphans. And the majority of these released orphans then, that they become street kids. And they live on the streets. They live on in the podvali, in the basements. So the released orphans have no place to go. So the statistic is 1 out of 3 orphans end up on the streets. 1 out of 5 in criminal activity. 1 out of 7 released orphans end their life in suicide. And so it's kind of a staggering and it's a penetrating thing with these released orphans. And so we began a home for the released orphans. The home is, we have 1 for girls, 1 for boys. Go ahead. Let me just say just a few words about that picture. The one on the left is Serioja. He just lost his wife about 5 months ago. The one on your right between me is Eddie. He came to Perm in 1991, 25 years ago. And Andre is on the right. These are the 5 men that came to the city of Perm 25 years ago. We helped them. We gave them $500 and said, okay, God bless you, boys. Go ahead. They said, you know, we're all from Ukraine. They're Ukrainian boys. And they said, we just have a call of God on our life to reach the Russian people. These are Ukrainians. And I said to Eddie, Eddie's the one that's standing on my right side. On the right side. So he, you know, he's 22, I guess. I said, Eddie, you're Ukrainian. And he says, I know. And I said, Ukrainians don't like Russians. He goes, I know. I don't like them. You know, and I said, and God's sending you to Russia? Yeah, you know. And so this is 25 years ago. And so when I tagged up with them 25 years ago, we gave them $500, and that was enough for them to start a church and to pay their rent for 5 months. I just thought, oh, well, you know, someone gave me this $500. Actually, it was $800, and I divided it among 3 other pastors. I gave 85, and the other guys 100. Couple hundred each. And I figured, well, Eddie, I'll give him, you know, I like him because he's from the same city that my grandfather was from in the Ukraine. And so there was a connection there. You know, same Ukraine, my grandfather, his grandfather, the same kind of church. And so I gave it to him, and he was so grateful. And so 25 years ago. And so I said, Eddie, you know, I will be willing to help you with your church on one condition, is that we help widows and orphans, because that's my heart. It's my heart, widows and orphans. And, of course, it's evangelism. And I figure these orphans are going to grow up anyway in 5 years, 10 years, 15, and 20 years. Well, when we began this 25 years ago, a lot of these orphans that we began working with now are in the church. And a lot of them are leaders of the church. A lot of them are pastors of the churches. So Eddie's church, you'll see the picture later on, it grew from 5 people to their wives, which was about 10, and their kids.
It grew from 5 to, you know, 20 to 30 to 40 to 300 to 800 to 1,000. And then we began saying, well, listen, we need to send some of these young guys and plant churches. And so we began, I had no idea how to plant churches. We would go to a village and say, okay, let's do evangelism for 3 days. And then one of the guys that would get saved would leave him there and say, okay, you're the pastor now. I know that's not the way to do it. But, you know, I didn't have any training in this, you know, and so now you could keep going the pictures. And now with this, I think we have something like 220 churches in the Perm region planted. And now Pastor Eddie I'll tell you another story about that boy that's a Slavic, the red one. They kind of, you know, I'm kind of skinny. They kind of hug me all the time. And so Slavic just passed away in about 6 months ago. He was our first convert in a drug rehabilitation center. And from him, lots of other drug addicts and a lot of street kids would come in because of Slavic. And he died of AIDS, 6 months ago. He came in the faith, you know, 12, 13, 14 years ago. And God just did a miraculous job in him. I mean, he was a heroin addict. And so God just delivered him in one day. And so after that, God just did miraculous things through Slavic. So we're a lot of these guys, you know, they've been in drugs a lot, many years. And so it's catching up to a lot of them. And many of them are dying now. But, you know, and they say, you know, God has given me 5 years of life. I'm so grateful. And they're just ecstatic. These are all the kids. And some of them, they look really old, but they're really not that old. It's just that the street life has just really torn him apart, you know. And just by the grace of God, you know, this boy is 23. You know, Dima, he looks almost as old as me, and I'm 60, you know, and I'm an old guy, you know. So we started building this about a year and a half ago, and the next picture is what it is right now. And that's a building for released orphans who work together with the New Testament Church. And, you know, it's interesting that as we work with these kids, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, they give their life over to the Lord, and God is using these kids to reach their type of people, their type of friends on the streets of Russia. Right now we have a thing called the Year for Jesus, and that's where the kids. Yeah, street kids, and that's the church behind you there. The building is we bought the Palace of Lenin 8 years ago, and the Palace of Lenin is it's a huge building in the city of Perm. Go ahead, and the government, it was just run down and it was just falling apart to bits, and so the church has put it together and made it, renovated. It looks beautiful, you know, and it's a beautiful building inside. And so right now it's, I'll tell you the story, but we have teams going out in all across from the churches, and it's called Year for Jesus. And these are kids who have been orphans and street kids and addicts, and they give one year to the Lord, and they go to different villages, and they tell people about the Lord. They will dig gardens. They will chop wood. They will do anything that's necessary to bring kids to the kingdom of God. Go ahead. Next picture. And so, go ahead. One more picture. There's a church now. The Palace of Lenin. Thank God. It's a beautiful building. And you know what? It was a miracle. I remember when we bought it about, I guess, 9 years ago. My mother was still alive then, and she came. We saw this building, and she prophesied. She said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is going to be your building." And Eddie and I looked at each other and said, "What is she prophesying?" You know, and what happened was within 6 months, we bought that building for $1.2 million. We had no money. And I came to different churches, the POC, and asking. And by the grace of God, we raised that money. That building's paid off. And now, the reason I'm saying this story to you is because the 10th of November, there's going to be elections. And the elections is going to be, Well, for the Duma, the governors, and one of the main governors, Alexander Smolchuk there, his platform is, and you see it on the billboards all across the city, and it says, we need to take back the building of the Palace of Lenin back to the city. So they want to take it back from the church. And so our prayer is that God will not allow him to be the governor. I don't care how God does it, you know, but that's our prayer. Because the church is doing a mighty work there, reaching out to the community, reaching out to orphans and the Youth for Jesus. And it's, you know, there's a new law out in Russia now, and the law is you cannot talk about Jesus Christ. You cannot do evangelism anywhere except the church. That's it. And you cannot invite people to the church. Only those that will want to come to church, they see the church, they can go to the church. You cannot invite anyone to the church. You cannot tell your kids about Jesus Christ except if they go to church. And so now there is a law, though, that says if you have a license to preach the gospel and you get that from the city, if the church has a license, then you could preach. So the church has gotten the license to preach, to evangelize, and they've given them a document. And so the church has made hundreds of copies of this document. And so if you want to go and preach somewhere, you go and you share the gospel, and you put it on the table, and you can share the gospel. And you don't have to say what the document is. You just put it down, and then you can preach. Phenomenal. So it kind of... It's a way out of reaching the people for the kingdom of God. So a simple piece of paper will bring people into the kingdom of God. You know, the doors have been, we have been told by the Holy Spirit that the doors are going to be closing. And I remember back in 78, 79, 80, going through, going to Russia in those years. It was tough. It was really tough. And I remember numerous times I was left with the KGB, and they would squeeze different portions of my body, and it hurt, you know. And I remember, it was painful what they did to me. I mean, and I could imagine what they did to pastors back there. You know the stories, you know. And it's gonna, those times are gonna happen again. So right now we need to do as much as we can to reach the kingdom. Or reach the people for the kingdom of God. It really is a time. You know, people, and I look at Russia, and it's, stop right there, please. I look at the time. The time is short. It really is. And that's why what you saw initially, it's a race against time. It really is. You know, I know that all of us, you know, we know that we're living for a short period of time. You know, I'm 61, and I'm shocked. Because I remember still, you know, when I was 16 or 17, just got my license. I'm thinking, oh, that was just a couple weeks ago. Like, fun. That's many years ago. Time goes by so quickly. And you know what? People every day are going into eternity without Jesus Christ. You know, and, you know, we, by the grace of God, New Manna Ministries, we're trying to reach out, touch the lives of these kids. And if you go back one slide, there's Andrei, the boy without hands, the boy in the blue. His name is Andrusha. You're seeing those pictures that we're seeing that was pictures of kids in at our camp in the Ukraine. The kids come then not knowing God, 70 or 80 kids at a time for 10 days at a period of time. And after 10 days, they all say, listen, what do you guys have? Why are you guys so nice? Well, what's wrong with you guys? So it's because of Jesus Christ. You know, and some of these handicapped kids, they want nothing to do with God. They said, how can I believe in God? Look how I'm born. Look at me. There's another boy, Sasha, and that boy in the blue, he's in the red right now. He drew that picture for me. He said to me, Dedya Fedya or Pastor Fred, can I draw you a picture? I looked at him and I said, how are you going to draw a picture without any hands? Without any arms. Well, he drew that picture. Phenomenal. A lot of these handicapped kids come and fall in love with Jesus Christ. It's exciting. I've got all these stories to tell you about it. They're just incredible. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful. It's so good. And that's and it's available to us. Go through it really quickly. I want to show you some of the African kids I'm taking. We have a African kids. See, my heart is children. And I know that as we touch the lives of widows and children, whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Africa, we touch the heart of God. And God blesses our churches, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's in Africa. I went to the front as well. They just put me on a tank. And that tank looked like a pile of junk. But there is a reward for that tank in Ukraine. And that reward is $10,000, whoever kills that tank. And the thing in Russia and Ukraine is there's a war going on between brother and brother, husband and wife, Ukrainian and Russian. It's tough. It's tough. It really is tough. You know, we also do that in Africa, working with kids. And I need to get into the word here. There's a table back there. I'll share with you if you want to sponsor either a Ukrainian boy or a Russian kid or an African child. We have a sponsorship program in Africa. We're feeding kids. I think we have 285 kids there now. It kind of grew. I never really wanted to do anything to do with Africa because I was from San Francisco, and I was raised with black kids, and these black kids sometimes would chase me at school and would beat me up, and I learned to run really quick. And so when God called me to Russia and Ukraine, I thought, oh, thank God it's not Africa. You know, black kids, you know, no way. Well, then I went to Africa, you know, and that's another whole story. And anyway, African kids grabbed my heart as well. So I've got 6 more minutes, and I'm going to go through really quick because it's really important. You know, as I look through the lives today, you know, people want to live. People want to be alive. And no matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, you want to be alive. And so people in the hospitals today, you know, they want to struggle at least for one more breath. You know, you get all these tubes connected to them. You know, they're given, you know, keep them away from stress, you know, just give them a little bit more oxygen just so that they could live one more hour. Because life is really precious. Life is a wonderful thing. Science today is studying it. And, you know, they want to know, you know, we know lots today about DNA. You know, we are intrigued. Science is trying to think, okay, how do we create life? You know, maybe life in a test tube. You know, I'm in the next PowerPoint already, by the way. So we know that the scripture, John 10:10, all right? We know it very well. You know, the devil comes to do what? 3 things. What? Number one. Number two. Steal. Number three, destroy. And that's what he wants to do to our life. Doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. That's what the devil wants to do to your life. He wants to steal your life from you. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to capture, he wants to make it ineffective, you know. And today, people, like we live in a very technological world, and it's interesting that my question to you is this: do I have life? I'm living. Okay, I'm living. But I am living, but am I alive? Or do I need like a hospital person in bed and they're giving them the oxygen mask and you're just giving just a little bit of oxygen just so he could get another breath? Or am I alive? Christ said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. That means you're supposed to be living. That means you're supposed to be alive. Not just, oh, God, another breath. I'm holding the fort. No, it's not. God says, I want you to be alive for a purpose. My question to you is, are you alive today? Are you alive? There's a Silicon Valley. We know the person, or, you know, there's Peter Thiel. Who in the world is Peter Thiel? You don't even know. Well, if I say, oh, that's Facebook guy, everyone knows Facebook. If I say Sergey Brin, well, who's Sergey Brin? Who knows? I don't know. Well, who's Sergey Brin? Google. Mr. Google, one of the Mr. Google guys. You know, or Ray Kurzweil. I mean, he's a musician. You know, you have a musician. He was one of the great musicians that started the synthesizers. And all these guys are trying to extend their life. They're putting in millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. to prolong the life. I mean, there is a research right now. It's the cryonics, right? They're freezing people. They're freezing people so that when they are going to finally find a cure to extend their life, they'll bring them back. There's about 250 people right now that are frozen. And they have 1,500 people on the waiting list to freeze. So to live a little longer, right food, right air, right supplements, juices, you know, sour milk. Well, not sour milk, but buttermilk. Buttermilk, you know, if you drink that stuff, you'll live longer. I'm not sure. You'd probably rather die than drink that stuff, you know. Buttermilk, you know, and there's people taking all these supplements, just struggling just to live a little bit longer. So, again, am I alive or am I just existing? I need to be alive for just to be beneficial to the Lord, to the kingdom of God, my father, my church, my country. You know, Jesus Christ, we read the scripture, 1 John 1:2. You know, Christ is the one. And let's just open that scripture, okay? John 1:2. And we have 3 more minutes left. I'm going to wrap it up. I know I'm long-winded here. 1 John 1:2. It says the following. These are very familiar verses. And it says that, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest unto us. We are going to go to Deuteronomy right now. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy very quickly. And you could go ahead with a PowerPoint. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30. So I'm going to say, how do I become alive? How do I become alive? And I'm an Old Testament man, and I love what God says here. It says chapter 30, verse 19. And Moses is saying, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Then it says, therefore, verse 19, therefore choose life, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cleave. That word is debach. That you may cleave to the Lord. Then, Deuteronomy chapter 13. And it says, verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God. Number 1, walk with him. Number 2, fear him. Number 3, keep his commandment. Number 4, obey his voice, that you shall serve him and cleave. Say the word cleave. Now say the word glued. That's what the word means. It debach means get glued. In the Russian language, it says get glued. You know, I mean, we know the word cleave. You know, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and what? Cleave. Well, that's the same word. God says, I want you to cleave to me. Because when we read then, we're going back in Deuteronomy here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4, it says the following thing. It's incredible. And you could find that if you like. Verse 4, it says, but you that did cleave, the Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 4, and you that did get glued unto the Lord your God are alive. My dear, dear friends, today the world wants you to get glued to everything around there is. To the internet, to the iPhone, iPad, ITV, I this. We get glued to everything. What are you? What am I glued to? What am I connected to? Ask yourself, what am I connected to? What am I glued to? Because if it's not God, if it's not the Word of God, you're not going to be alive. If it's not the Word of God, you will fall into sin. You will be ineffective. I will be ineffective. And God is saying, please get glued to me. Get glued to me so that you can be alive. My dear friends, what is the glue that keeps us together? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And it's God gave them manna to live. We need food. We need food every day. You know, when we need breakfast, lunch, and supper, you know, sometimes when we fast breakfast, oh, I'm going to die. We fast a day, oh, my word. Well, we do that a lot with the spiritual food. We don't read our Bible. We don't read it for one day, 2 days, a week, a month. Well, why do you think people are falling into sin? The Word of God is what keeps us glued to our Lord and Savior, who gives us life and makes us alive. That is what is precious. I'm going to end with a story. You come up, Jim. The story is, you may have heard it before, and I'm going to end with a story. It's this. You know, I've heard it before. You know, there was a wealthy man with a son, and they enjoyed art. They enjoyed art. They had, at the home, they had the Picassos, the Van Goghs, Michelangelos, the Rubens. It was treasure, you know. And the father and the son, they would admire this artwork. It was good stuff, you know, and they would admire it and look at it. And so when the Vietnam War broke out, the son got taken to Vietnam. And in Vietnam, the son got killed. And the father was very sorrowful over that. And about Christmas, before Christmas, a young soldier knocked on the door of the father's house. And he was one of those young soldiers that stood there. And he had a packet under his arm. And the young man said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm one of the soldiers that your son saved." And he said, "During that battle, Vietnam, your son saved many of us, and I was the last one to be saved. And before he brought me to safety, a bullet pierced his heart, and he died instantly." And he said, "Your son spoke lots about you, how you enjoyed the art, and I have got something for you." And he gave a package, and he gave it to the father. And he said, "I know I'm not much of an artist, but I'd like to give this to you. I'm sure your son would have liked you to have it." And father took it, and he looked at the package, and it was a portrait of his son. And he was captivated by the fact that how this young man just captured the expression of his son. And he said, "Young man, let me pay you for it." He said, No, sir. What your son did for me was just, he gave me life, and this is a free gift to you, sir." Well, the father took the painting and he hung it on above his mantle, and whenever people would come to the home and to see the different paintings, the father would always show the portrait of his son, and because he was so proud of that son of his. And a couple months passed, and the father passed away and died, and there was a big auction scheduled for that to sell all the treasure of the home. And so all the people in the San Francisco area came to bid, trying to get one of the treasures of the home. So the first piece of work was the portrait of the son. And the portrait of the son came on, and the auctioneer said, "Okay, we were starting with this portrait. Who give me $1,000? Silence. Who give me $500? Silence. $100? Silence. One of the guys in the front row said, "Come on, we came for the real art. Get the Picassos, get the Van Goghs. We came for that art." The auctioneer said, "Who give me $100? So in the back said, "I'll give you $10. And it was the gardener of the old man. You know, he was a poor man, and that's all he was able to afford. So he said, "Okay, we have $10. Who give us $20? Who give us $20? Silence. Same man said, "Come on, give it to him for $20. Let's get on with the auction." Going once, going twice, sold for $20. The auctioneer closed everything down, put his hammer down, and said, "The auction is done." And the guy said, what do you mean the auction is done? How about all the treasures, all the artwork, the priceless work?" And he said, "I had a secret stipulation. And the stipulation was this: whoever takes a son gets it all." You know, 2,000 years ago, God gave his son, Jesus Christ. He suffered for us. so we may have life, and that more abundantly. Choose a son. That is where the treasure is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Wow. Hallelujah. Would you please stand with me and the team just come back? Last week, we had a staff meeting on Tuesday, and Pastor Stephen said to me, I forgot to tell you, Pastor Jim, but I led two people to Jesus after the service. It's what it's about, people. It's about lives in Russia, and it's about lives in Richmond, and it's about lives all over this world. It's about your lives here this morning. You need to take the sun and get it all. So right now, before we go any further in the prayer or in this prayer time, I want you to think about this, that if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. That is what it's all about. That's what burns deep in Fred's heart, where he went and did things he didn't want to do so he could do what God wanted him to do. I've been in the services with Fred and Eddie and just see the people who, thousands of people come and they just spend time in the presence of Jesus, and they sing songs that we sing but in a different language, and just the Spirit of God moved inside of me and Elaine, and it's just what we're about. It's the why we exist, is because we need to have that fuel, that person inside of us, that Jesus. We need that. And so this morning, I want you just to bow your heads right now with me. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I want you to say this prayer after me out loud. I want everybody to say it, but also maybe you have at one time walked with Jesus and now you've just been away from him and you're just on the fence and you don't know whether he would even accept you back. Let me tell you right now, yes, he will. All right, it doesn't matter how much stuff you have on you. Doesn't matter how deep you're cloaked in all sin and hurt and pain. He will take you and he'll wrap his arms around you this morning. And he'll bring you into the family because Jesus made that provision for us 2,000 some years ago. So I want you to say this, all of us together, but I don't want you to say it to me. I want you to say it to the Holy Spirit, to God, to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you that you made provision to wash away my sins. And I am a sinner. I struggle with all sorts of things. But from my birth, I had original sin because of Adam. Original sin because of Adam. And I ask you to wash that away from me right now. I ask you to make me whole. I accept your forgiveness for my sin. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my best friend. I want you to be my support and my encouragement. I want you to be my life. I want you to be my oxygen. I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you said that prayer, I want you to come. I want the prayer line, the prayer team to come up here. I would like you to come up and tell somebody up here and have them pray with you again. But also, if you are struggling with anything in your life, last week we talked about this and some people were set free and released. You may be needing that this morning. I want you to come. Would the prayer team please come up right now?